Blog Talk Radio.
It's amazing, I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe in. No matter what, you'll never take that from me. My rain is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing.
We are back. Good evening and welcome to the third season of the Knicks at Night Show. I'm Frank Nutt and I'm joined by my good buddy, co-host, Mr. Tom Baffa. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Frank. It feels so good to be back. Excited about this season. Ready to talk some Knicks? We'll be taking your calls all night, 347-637-3680, as we are previewing the Knicks 2015-16 season.
That's right, 347-637-3680. That's the number to call to talk with us. Tonight we'll be joined by Mark Berman, the New York Post, good friend of the show and Knicks beat writer.
And as always, this podcast will be available for download immediately following tonight's show on Stitcher and iTunes. Follow all of us on Twitter, at Frank Nutt and at Tom Baffa, 2 T's, 2 F's, for your latest news regarding our upcoming shows.
That's right, Tom. So since the Knicks and Night Show, we came back last week for our first show. We had a little bit of a round table.
Dry run.
Right. A little bit of a dry run. You know how we do. So since that time, the Knicks played 2 preseason games. They got a win against the Wizards. I believe that was Friday night. And then, Derek Fisher sat the majority of his starters, Carmelo Anthony, Lopez. A bunch of those guys didn't play Saturday. And then Fisher actually took out everyone who knew how to play basketball for the last 8 minutes of that game, and the Knicks ended up losing that preseason game to, I believe it was the Sixers. I don't know. It may have been somebody else. I don't know. It's preseason. It's preseason, Tom. What'd you think about the last couple preseason games? What are some things you like, some things you didn't like?
Let's hope these Knicks play as good in the regular season as they're playing in the preseason, Frank, because I'm excited about this team, man. A lot of people doubted it. And, you know, if the season hasn't started yet, I'm going to jump in the gun yet. But at least it's a team we want to watch at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's exciting. I mean, if they went out and they dropped all the preseason games, lost by, you know, a tremendous amount, and nobody was, like, Porzingis wasn't playing well and Klay Anthony wasn't playing well, you know what? Okay, let's chalk it up to another terrible next season. But these guys are coming out and playing awesome. It's fun to watch again, and you can
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because, you know, a lot of people say that the preseason doesn't mean anything. You know, the numbers don't mean anything, the stats don't mean anything, and I agree to that to some extent. But I think this year for the Knicks fans, it's really important. It's imperative that the Knicks came out as if they wanted to win basketball games, because I think last year, the majority of us thought that they were trying to lose games towards the end of the season. And we actually got upset when they beat the Atlanta Hawks, I believe, or like, you know, a game that they won.
It was the Timberwolves, I think.
Right, and the Timberwolves, right.
Tim Hardaway went for like 55 or some crazy amount of points.
Yeah, I think it was 55. Yeah, that's But no,
went for a double nickel. He went for a double nickel against the
double nickel.
Do you get
what I'm saying? Like, it's important that they came out look like they want to win basketball games. I think I'll let you guys in on our radio secrets. And Tom, we've talked about this before. It wasn't worth it for us to have a show last year because we wouldn't get, you know, we'd maybe get 200 or 300 downloads. I mean,
won 17 games. What are we talking about every night? Oh, the Knicks are terrible. Melo doesn't want to play with this team. All happy guys
are going to
be gone next season.
Right.
That'd
what
be
move
every
are they
going to
make? Right. No, you're 100% right. And it got to the point where, like,
everything now, you know, they got so many new pieces. Everyone seems to be clicking. They got veterans. They got new guys. They got kids stepping up. Everyone's playing. Right. I feel like some of these preseason games have been playing like it was a playoff game. All the second-chance points and the blocks and the, you know, active feet and hands on defense. They're playing well. It's exciting.
Well, we'll ask Mark Berman about this when he joins us in a little bit. The Knicks right now have the NBA's sixth best efficiency differential, which is a pretty good stat. Going, I think like the playoff teams last year, I want to say like the majority of the playoff teams were in the top 15 in that stat alone. So for the Knicks to be in the top 10 in that stat is pretty cool. You know, it's a cool thing to see when we look at, you know, how bad they were last year. They're the second worst team in the NBA.
And I just want to point out, like, this Knicks team this year reminds me of the 90s Knicks teams, the gritty New York, you know, basketball Knicks, where they're like, nobody's coming in the paint or you're getting hit. You know, that kind of like, that has that feel to it. You know, like they're like a family more so than just a team. And I think that has a lot to do with the office now. You know, everyone in the office, they're making moves, pulling the strings. So,
yeah. No, I agree. I think what, you know, what Jackson did of bringing in O'Quinn and Serafin, you know, a guy like Lou Amundson last year was a nice player, but he's not a guy that you want to play 20, 30 minutes a night. Like, he's just not. Like, he's a guy that if, you know, if X, Y, or Z gets hurt, you have him to, you know, to maybe play 15 or 20 minutes a night. Like, last year, you depended on Lou Amundson to be your starting center. Like, this year, you have O'Quinn, you have Serafin, you have Lopez, you have actual NBA players who are tough, good basketball players.
O'Quinn is the truth.
Yeah, I think he's great. He's been great. You know, and if he's not playing well, you have Kevin Serafin, who's a legit NBA big.
Right, and all these guys are keeping each other accountable. Last year, like you said, there wasn't people to fill the spots. Now there's so many guys and there's so many pieces to this team where, listen, if you're not playing ball, you're not going to play. And I think everyone's starting to realize that three guys behind everybody want that spot.
Right. No, it's depth, like a lot, like, name to me an NBA champion that hasn't had depth in the last 10 years. You know, I mean, I could even argue that because the Cavs didn't have depth last year, that's why they didn't win an NBA championship. Because at the end of the year, it was LeBron.
I absolutely agree.
And who, like, you know, LeBron, and I don't even know who the second best player was because I don't think they knew. You know, like, you're depending on guys that you shouldn't have to depend on. Like, you know, and now the Knicks have legit NBA players behind some other legit NBA players. And, you know, it's cool. You know, so Tom, before we bring on Mark Berman of the New York Post, our buddy Luke is going to join us for a few minutes. We have Luke calling. So we'll bring Luke on, talk a little bit about Knicks preseason.
All right.
What's up, Luke? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man,
not
how you
much,
been?
Man.
Oh, man, it's been a long, long off season, man. Long off season.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's good
to
talk to you.
It's been a long couple of years.
So, you know, so while we've got you on for a few minutes tonight, I want to know what you have thought about preseason so far. I know, obviously, can't get too hyped up on preseason, can't get too high, can't get too low on it. What's your take been on preseason so far, and what have you liked and what have you not liked that you've seen so far with this Knicks team in preseason?
Oh man, it's been great so far. You know, the group of guys are real awesome right now. The good thing I like about it is that everybody is together. You know, there's not one person that's not against what we're going through or what the triangle or what the offense means. The bad thing I don't like is I don't like how the defense is being run right now. They need a lot of help or a lot of more work on defending the outside of the arc. That killed us last year, and you see it this year in the preseason. that is getting us again with the three-point shooters on the opposite team. So I think we need to more emphasize more on defense beyond the arc.
Okay. Now you're at the practices and you see all the behind the scenes stuff. What's the atmosphere of the practices? And like how are these guys playing? And is the intensity level there during the practice?
The intensity level is really high. Coach Fisher, he expects a lot from the players, and these players are showing a lot of enthusiasm and wanting to win. They got that urge to win. Everybody's got a smile on their face. I think it's going to be a great season going forth.
Okay, great.
Cool. Now, over the last couple of years, Knicks fans have been accustomed to that one guy standing out during preseason. A couple years ago, it was Chris Copeland. He kind of came out of nowhere. Last year, it was really Travis Ware. I mean, obviously, Landry Fields a couple years ago did the same thing. Have you seen a guy this preseason that has shown you something that you didn't think you were going to see and maybe has a chance to be an impact player on the team this year?
Oh, man, I would probably have to say between two players. I like Afolo and Grant. Grant, you know, he's coming from a background of basketball players, his father, his uncle. So I'm looking for those two players to get an impact on this team right now. Afolo's coming with a lot of experience. And I think a lot of guys are going to follow that role with Afolo. I think he's a good role model for these upcoming guards. You got Tracy the second. He's looking to make an impact. Going to make the team. He might get on that D League team. Porzingis, he's got a lot of work to do, but I think he's going to be really well in this Knicks defense.
Okay, awesome. Now, do you see the veteran guys taking the rookies under their wing and kind of like guiding them and helping them with little things during the practices?
I see it a lot now. I see a lot of guys pulling people to the side, the new guys to the side, and telling them where their spots seem to be, especially a lot of the role players now. You got the starters that's out there on the floor. They're doing what they're supposed to do. You got Carmelo. You know, that's hard to explain with Carmelo, man. He's not a very talkative person, but he'll grab you to the side and tell you where your spots seem to be, especially when he's, you know, if they're pushing on the four, he's pushing on the three. He's telling people where they got to be on their spot. You know, a lot of these guys on the Knicks roster are a lot of role players, and I think that's what the Knicks has got and the Knicks fans has got to, you know, kind of hold back because you got a lot of role players, not a lot of superstars, but a lot of role players, and I think that's going to impact
right.
The Knicks players.
And I think around someone like Carmelo Anthony, it's good. I mean, we saw him a couple years ago when we won the 54 games that he had guys around him that knew how to play basketball, that knew their role and executed their role on a daily basis. And I think you look at some of the guys we brought in this year. We bring in Kyle O'Quinn for 4 years, $16 million. You bring in a guy like Kevin Seraphin with something to prove. You bring in a guy like Brooke Lopez who, you know, with the salary cap going up, his number $15 million a year for the next couple years really isn't that big of a deal. And you look at, you know, a guy like Afolo who comes in, something to prove. To you, Luke, which offseason signing was got you the most excited? Was there one that you were like, wow, like they actually got this guy, like they went after this guy, and over all the other teams, he came to the Knicks. That means something to me. I think he's going to be great in this system. Was there a guy like that for you?
For me, I've always been a big fan of Williams. He brings a lot of intensity on the defensive end on the court. He's got a lot of post moves. So I really think Williams is going to be the impact of the Knicks roster this year.
I see that too, man. His intensity, you know, I haven't seen that in a long time out of a New York team. Like, I think he could bring it this year, and he could help us out a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's very boisterous in the locker room. Even on the floor during practice, during drills, he's very energetic, man. And I see that a lot, and I like that about him. He reminds me of, like you said, Copeland. That was my main man, Cope the Dope. That was my boy right there.
Yeah.
very energetic, and I like that. And I think that's what's going to bring the defense intensity up. You losing players like, you know, back in the day, well, not back in the day, but you got J.R. Smith
Let's call that back in the day. Let's put that away.
Hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is.
So, that's so funny. Oh, God. You know, the funny thing is, Luke, Tom and I, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, and we were like, you know, it's you don't realize it, but you know, the Knicks won 54 games 3 seasons ago. Like it's crazy. I mean, to think how, you know, how long ago that was, and how quickly things can change in the NBA. You know, a lot of people have been talking. I heard Jerry West this morning. I've heard your boy Stacey King, who actually gave you a shout out the other day on SiriusXM NBA Radio. I don't know if you heard that.
I missed that one. We talk all the time.
Yeah, he actually, I forget his direct quote, but it was like something to the effect of, he gave the Knicks a compliment. He's like, to me, I think they're going to be one of the most improved teams. They, you know, I think they're going to do a lot of good things. And he's like, shout out to my boy Luke. You know, so, and I was like, oh, I know what he's talking about. That's cool. You know, Jerry West also said the same thing this morning. Do you see that? I mean, are we looking at it as last year, you know, a lot of fans thought that they were going to be around a 40 to 45 win team. They win 17 ball games. Now, are we looking too positive at this, or do you think this team has a chance to make some noise? You know, maybe 35, 40 wins. What are your thoughts?
Man, I really think they got a chance to make some noise in the East because it's the East. 35 wins, but if they continue to work hard and do what they got to do and keep their eyes, 35 wins should be brainer. I think they should be able to get at least fight for that eighth and the seventh seed. I really think they can push it. I think it's going to be a lot more wins, and it's going to be a lot more than seven. I can show you that. But, 35 is probably about the mark where you're going to be looking at, you know, as far as the Knicks right now.
Okay. And you're listening to the Knicks at Night Show. We're joined right now by a good buddy of the show, Luke. He joins us every once in a while to talk about some stuff that's going on inside the huddle, you know, at practice, at training camp. He's always a good insight, and you're on live with Frank and Tom right now. So, Luke, one more thing before we let you go tonight. We really appreciate you joining us. You know, this piece came out today. It was tweeted out by a bunch of the guys that, you know, that write for the team. The Real Sports interview that's going on with Brian Gumbel and James Dolan and Isaiah Thomas tomorrow night. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Have you seen any of this? You know, what's your take on it, and why now? Why bring negative light to a positive situation? There's a lot of good vibes around this team right now. Why talk about it now? You know, what's your take on this?
Oh man, be honest with you, I heard a lot about it, and I haven't got a chance to hear it or see it yet.
You gotta get on that.
Yeah, I've been trying to catch up on these shows that I got on my DVR because I didn't have time to do nothing. So I haven't even had a chance to do anything. And especially this last week, this is the last week I got. I'll be on a little bit, 2 or 3 days vacation. It's probably like the first 2 games, I think, because I'll be out in DR, you know, enjoying my last little 2 days out there. So I'll be 2 games in DR.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, Luke, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. You know, we look forward to talking to you again soon, man. And when we're going to set up a live show at Clyde's again. We'd love to have you. We had a lot of fun last time. We got a chance to talk live for a while, and we had a good time. We had some nice drinks, you know, and a good time. So we'll talk to you soon, Luke.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, guys. Take it easy.
Hey, have a good
as
time.
As always.
Hey, you too, guys.
That was Luke right here on the Knicks at Night Show, presented by Frank and Tom. Frank and Tom.
Frank and Tom.
Nice.
Dude, we got to get another show going at Clyde, because that is the best.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be back at Clyde soon. I got to hit up Patricia, Clyde's wife, and she's always good to us. Stumbling and bumbling. So, Tom, we have our second guest on the line right now. He's a man that needs no introduction. He writes for the New York Post. He is Mr. Mark Berman himself. Mark, how you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great, Frank and Tom. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey,
oh,
thanks
no
for coming
problem.
On. We appreciate it.
So Mark, you know, just wanted to start off with some positive vibes. There are a lot of positive vibes around this team right now. Your thoughts on the first couple preseason games, what you've liked, what you haven't liked, and kind of your overall take on preseason so far.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a pretty positive column for a change in today's Post about, you know, going into preseason, I honestly thought that for the Knicks not to be a terrible team this year, they really needed Porzingis to make a real impact. But after watching them play and practice and scrimmage and some of the preseason games, there's so much depth on the team that I think they could be almost respectable, even if Porzingis is inconsistent. And I think we are going to see an inconsistency from Porzingis, where one night he's going to look pretty good based on the matchups, and another night they may not be able to keep him on the floor for too long. But, you know, you got a lot of forwards there, you know, with O'Quinn, who's been very good, and Derek Williams has been scoring the ball, and even Cleanthony is playing well, and naturally Carmelo looks like he could maybe duplicate that 2013-14 season when they won the 54 games. So, you know, I'm a little more optimistic. Now, that doesn't mean they're making the playoffs. I mean, I'm carefully studying the rosters of the Eastern Conference. And, you know, I just hope that in early April, we're still writing about a playoff race. And that's, you know, what my hope is, that, you know, they're still within sniffing distance of the eighth seed when it hits April 1st.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about Porzingis a little bit. He's been on and off. He's been talking about he's been sore and he's hurt and he's sitting out a little bit. Do you think he's going to be able to last the entire season?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question. That's why, you know, this preseason is for Porzingis has been a little bit of a downer, because the worst fears of his durability has shown, and he's gotten a knee injury and the quad injury, which is actually an old injury from his pre-draft workout with the Knicks. And the Knicks are very protective of him, and he probably could have played, but they definitely want to, you know, be very cautious. And that means if they're going to be very cautious now, I have a feeling they're going to be cautious even in the regular season. So I think he's going to miss a handful of games with some nagging injuries. The fear is that of him getting a real serious injury and, you know, being out a month or two. But I think, you know, he's going to sit some games. I think maybe second nights of a back-to-back if they feel he's banged up. I mean, he's still underweight, even though he put on some pounds. You know, an 82-game schedule with all the pounding and the grinding. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to play 82 games, that's for sure.
And just to add to that, I think he's so young still, there's a potential he could still grow. So he could grow it. You know, he's 7'3" now. You know, he grows another 2 inches. He's 7'5". He's Sean Bradley, and he weighs the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't think he'll get to 7'5", maybe 7'4". But, you know, when they say he's still growing, they are also talking about him getting broader and growing into his frame, not so much the length. But, you know, he still could grow another inch. He's still 20 years old, but and that's pretty scary. But listen, I think that, you know, in a few years, I think he's going to be excellent. I just, you know, just for Carmelo Anthony's sake and Knicks fans who have been waiting for Phil Jackson to turn it around, I just hope that he's not a bust as a rookie. I hope he could give them something. Not every night. I think he's going to have some really bad nights, but I hope, you know, the majority of nights he can give them a contribution.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, it's funny, Mark, because when we look at some of the guys that come from overseas, you know, it's a lot of people don't necessarily study the, you know, the different leagues around the world and their schedule. I mean, if you look at guys that play, you know, in Spain or in, you know, Italy or wherever they might play, Germany, they don't play a schedule like the NBA. I mean, they play about half the games. There's, you know, there may be one game a week on a Saturday, or, you know, almost like a football schedule would be. And it's a different lifestyle than living in the NBA. And it's a different lifestyle than playing, you know, a back-to-back with, you know, one night in between another back-to-back. It's different. I think it'll take some time for him to get used to. And I think fans who think that he's going to come out and play 35 minutes a game are out of their minds. And I think if that's your expectation, then there's really no talking you off of the, hey, he's probably going to play somewhere between 18 and 20 minutes. Yeah, he might start. You know, I think you reported today that it's looking like he will start. You know, and it's just, you have to temper your expectations. You have to understand what's realistic. And I think that's the most difficult thing for some fans.
Yeah, 20 minutes is the benchmark. That's even what Phil Jackson had said right before preseason started. You know, he'd like to play him about 20 minutes. I would say maybe 22 minutes. But, yeah, they want him to start and you know, and start the first half and the second half. I doubt he'll finish games, you know, unless he's playing very well defensively. But, yeah, no, the minutes, you know, there'll be a minutes gauge on him for sure. And, yeah, you definitely have to temper expectations against, especially against some teams that are really physical up front. You know, even against Al Jefferson the other night, you know, Al powered in for a couple of easy baskets.
Right.
You know, those type of players are going to give him a lot of trouble. But listen, I hope he gets a little more aggressive with his three-point shot. I hope he's a little less tentative, especially in summer league. He seemed to be he's not one of those guys that, you know, have that scorer's mentality like a Carmelo. And even in Spain, you know, he scored 9-10 points a game. I'd like for him to be a little more aggressive when he's on the court and shoot the ball more because he's, you know, one of the best shooters on the team.
Oh, I agree 100%. I think, you know, it's, another thing I'd really like to see, they've shown it in a few preseason games. It's been that pick and pop right at the top of the key that they've run a few times. And he's been money inside, you know, between the free throw line and the three-point line, catching right in there. He's been money. And I would love to see some more of that high pick and roll, especially with him. Because, you know, if guys try and defend the, you know, the guy coming off the screen, he's going to be wide open. And at 7'3", you know, you're really not going to get your shot blocked anyway, so it's going to be like he has an open shot anyway. And I think that's definitely something that the Knicks need to do more with him, and I think that'll help him to be more aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, when we saw that original footage from Las Vegas when he had that pre-draft workout in front of all the NBA teams, you know, he was just draining three-pointer after three-pointer, but he has mid-range game also. You know, some guys like you know, there's three-point specialists, and you like a Novak. He doesn't
right,
shoot
Steve
well
Novak.
From, like, 15 feet. But, you know, it seems Porzingis has touch from all areas. And, you know, it's great to see. And I just hope they find him more. I sometimes, even in summer league, I felt they weren't getting him the ball enough. But I think he's been out of position a lot. And he has admitted that, you know, he's still a little lost in the triangle, which is why it killed me that when he was healthy – you know, he didn't do, you know, there's been times where he hasn't scrimmaged even when he was healthy, just out of precautionary reasons. And then even Friday he could have played and they decided not to play him. He needs reps. And these final 7-8 days leading into the regular season, you know, I hope he's out there on the court every day and he doesn't get another ticky-tack injury.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think the biggest thing is him staying healthy and his availability. We saw that with Klay Anthony early last year. Klay could have gotten, you know, so many more minutes than he got, but he was hurt all the time and he didn't get that experience that he needed. So now
he was hurt a lot, but I also thought that when he was on the court, he looked tentative and passive. And this year, it's been quite different with Klay.
Right. Oh. He's really stepping up, it seems, this year. He's much
more relaxed. Yeah, getting it. I think he even said, like, at Sullivan County Community College when he first entered, he didn't dominate right away. It took him time to adjust, took him a little time at Wichita State. He's one of those guys that it just takes a little more time than some other players. And I was talking to him the other night and did a story Sunday saying that even though he anticipated the quickness and the physicality of the NBA, he still underestimated it, and he was definitely surprised at how physical and how fast the NBA game was coming out of a mid-major at Wichita State.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if we've ever had the conversation about Klay, Mark, but we know Klay on a personal level.
Of course.
And Klay coming out of high school, you know, was going to be a Division III basketball player. You know, he was not someone that even had any idea that he was going to be in the NBA. So that, I think that has a lot to do with his personality and just his, if you would talk to him 6 years ago, I mean, he would never have thought that I'm going to be an NBA player someday. And I think, I think he's adjusted well this year. I'm very pleased with how he's played lately. You can see he has a little bit of swagger, confidence in his game. And I think that's great. Cause I mean, this is a big year for him. This is a contract year for him. And you know, he was Phil Jackson's first, you know, first draft pick as a, as an executive. So I feel like if he shows something that's going to give Phil, and the organization, to give him more chances and hopefully get him some more playing time.
Right. Yeah, I forgot you guys are from the Middletown area. You know, played obviously at Pinebush, and Kevin Gleason,
right,
the sports editor of the newspaper,
sure,
up there,
the
Times Herald Record, said that I believe he once got suspended or kicked off the team at one point from Pinebush, and was slow to become a star even on the high school level in the,
sure,
Orange County League, which isn't the greatest league in New York State. So, but he gets to the basket, and last year he didn't even think about going to the basket, and it's great to see. And he's got a lot of fans in New York, from the Bronx, and then moved up to Middletown. So,
yeah,
it could be a great story if he really turns it around.
And I was actually talking to his mom the other day, and she told me his off-season regimen was completely different.
Yeah.
This year. Than any other year before. He actually was running a lot more and sprinting a lot more because he wanted to get faster, like you said before. He wanted to actually begin, being able to keep up with the game. And he worked that into his regimen this year.
Yeah, he told me the other day he lost about 5 pounds, but it's more than that. Yoga was also something he started to do this offseason. I guess he did it at Wichita State a little bit and dropped it, but he feels he needed the flexibility, and especially coming off the knee surgery last season, it has helped him, and he's going to continue to do the yoga. And, he didn't tell me about the running, but that's probably how he lost the 5 pounds, which on his frame means something.
And Mark, we talk about, some of the differences between this year and last year, and I feel like one of the main differences – with the group of guys they have this year, it seems like we have a level of toughness and an attitude about attacking the basket that we didn't have last year. I mean, you look at some of the guys you bring in, and you bring in an O'Quinn who has an attitude. You bring in a Jerian Grant who his pedigree is getting to the rim and getting into the lane and creating for others. And you look at, a guy like Derek Williams who attacks the basket about as hard as anybody in the NBA. And now you look at Klee, and he's kind of getting that knack of trying to get to the basket more. It's something that we didn't have last year. And I mean, I'll tell, Division III, Division I high school players this, the way to get good shots is to attack the rim. And the Knicks did not do that at all last year. And now they are doing that. Have you seen that? And is this something that excites you or kind of gives you a little bit of, okay, like they're getting it, they're getting to the rim, easy baskets, get to the free throw line. Is that something that you think could be a positive thing for this year's team?
Yeah, there's no question, and it's something that Phil Jackson really wanted. I remember a couple of times Phil talked last season about we're not getting any penetration, and then as a result, they were one of the worst teams in terms of free throw attempts, getting to the foul line. So there's no doubt they're going to get to the line more, hopefully get some more easy baskets, even in transition. And you mentioned Grant. He pushes the pace. Calderon is still slow. And I wonder if 12, 15 games into the season, if Grant supplants Calderon as the starting point guard, because he's exactly what Fisher wants. He's pushing the pace, and he's a great penetrator. The Knicks, their strength is not outside shooting. That's for sure. They're not a very good three-point shooting team. Carmelo obviously is a great scorer, but this team is not built on the outside shot right now, so they're going to have to get to the basket. And you mentioned O'Quinn before, and O'Quinn is showing that toughness. He had that hard foul the other night against Boston, against Sullinger, which I was surprised they called a flagrant. There was no flagrant. That was him going for the ball and laying down a hard foul. But that's, O'Quinn is a tough kid, and again, another possible diamond in the rough. Orlando, this young team, rebuilding, and they gave up on O'Quinn, but the Knicks saw, John Gabriel, one of their top scouts, he's out, lives in Orlando, saw O'Quinn quite a bit, and thought that for the value, he could really help them up front. And Lopez is a physical player. He's going to score inside and get garbage points. Listen, last year, the makeup of the team, as Fisher will say, it just wasn't a well-conceived team, and it wasn't the team that Phil Jackson put together. It was a bunch of players that he inherited. And, you know, D'Alembert, it started with D'Alembert. He was awful on both ends of the court last year. And now they have a legitimate center. And listen, that's Phil's fault because he traded Chandler. And D'Alembert was one of the big pieces coming back, as was Calderon. And he was terrible also. So, you know, they talk about last year's roster being imperfect. And it was, but it partly is Phil Jackson's fault.
Right. Now, every preseason, someone stands out. Like, you know, it was Copeland a couple of years ago. Who this year to you is the standout guy on this preseason team?
I mean, you got to pick Derek Williams right now. 23 points, 21 points, 19 points, 14 points. That's his last four games. I know he's out of position in the triangle and has, you know, committed some turnovers. But he really has a knack. He's so aggressive. He's so athletic. He's scoring in transition. His three-point shot is falling. He's getting tough, you know, driving buckets. You know, he's just got a scorer's mentality right now. He's got a lot of confidence. And I think the first 4 years of his career, he had no confidence. He played for a terrible team in Minnesota and a terrible team in Sacramento. And I think the losing wore him down. And, you know, he's looking at this as a rebirth. The Knicks gave him a terrific contract considering his resume. And I just think that they've created a great environment for him. And everyone's saying it's preseason. He's going to stink once the regular season begins. But in a, you know, in a role off the bench as sort of like a spark plug, like a J.R. Smith off the bench, I think he's going to help them. He's even rebounding a little bit. And playing a little defense. So it's so far turning into, you know, a signing that's not a – listen, that was the worst signing of them all when it happened. And I think we all agreed it's like, you know, 2 years, almost $10 million for this guy. I mean, they just had cap space to burn is what it was.
Right.
And it might turn into the, you know, his smartest signing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It at the time it was kind of head scratching, but now it's, you know, it's looking like a pretty good signing for $5 million. So according to Real GM, the Knicks have an NBA preseason efficiency differential that's sixth best in the NBA. Obviously, there's a ton of stats that you can pull out in the preseason. Do you put any weight on these stats? Does that stat in particularly, you know, raise an eyebrow to you? What's your take on preseason stats and their relevancy going forward for the regular season?
Well, you know, I kind of just look at the record. I mean, they're 4-1, and I look at how they won the games, and it looked like Washington, you know, they beat Washington in Washington, and Washington was playing their guys, and it was a good win. Beating Philadelphia, you know, they were without their guys, but it's not so much the victories. I just look at how these guys look on the court. And for the most part, everyone is exceeding expectations. Maybe Kevin Serafin, you know, he got hurt and he's come back and he's shooting really poorly the last two games. But, you know, Grant looks good. Calderon is a question mark still. I mean, he's not injured. But you could, he's Calderon is just filling a spot, in my opinion. As long as he doesn't hurt you, you know, as long as he's not a big liability on defense, you know, it's okay. But most of the guys, Carmelo's looked great. Lopez has looked fine. And O'Quinn has looked excellent. I mean, I just look at how guys are playing more than the stats and the, you know, the victory totals. But it's nice to win. It is. And it builds confidence. And you could tell that Derek is excited and he feels he's got a roster that has a lot of versatility and he's got a lot of options. And then it's now really deciding, okay, here's my starting five, but what's my rotation going to look like and how many minutes do I play everybody? He's got 12, 13 legitimate guys he could play. And he really wants to have a 10-man rotation. So, you know, Derek does have a lot of decisions to make in the final 9 days.
Yeah, and I think that wasn't the case last year. I think, you know, it got to a point where we were like, oh, who's on the starting lineup tonight? And it was, you know, it was like a borderline, is this guy even an NBA player? So now I assume that, Mark, that you've seen some of the Anuka Brown Sanders stuff, obviously with Brian Gumbel's report tomorrow coming out on Real Sports on HBO. With all the positive vibes around this team right now, obviously the draft picks, you know, the 4-1 record, the successful summer league, the additions, why would they pick now to – why would the Knicks allow Dolan and Isaiah to talk about such a negative time in Knicks history to bring negative vibes around this team at the start of what could be a promising season?
Yeah, well, I mean, Dolan's the boss, so he decides. I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed. I had a tweet earlier today. Why are we talking about the harassment trial, you know, that's 8 years old? You know, we all know what happened. We know that Isaiah thinks he's innocent. He said it a million right. times. I mean, it's just, it's such old news. I agree with you. It's silly for them to have done this show. It was taped last week. But they knew it was going to be broadcast this week, and they gave us the excerpts this morning. But it's just silly. Dolan has this obsession over this trial that he feels he can't believe they lost. Isaiah can't believe they lost, and they're obsessed with it, and they can't let it go. And instead of trying to talk more about the liberty, they let the issue get more to the trial. And you know, they're using the Liberty's success almost to, you know, go back to their agenda of talking about the trial and why we think we still won that trial and, you know, we're not guilty. And listen, Isaiah has that ownership issue still to be resolved. The WNBA still has not approved him as an owner, and maybe he's laying the groundwork for that. But you're right. It's bad timing. Dolan shouldn't be talking about the trial right now. If anything, he should be going on HBO and talking about Phil Jackson and the Knicks and what he thinks about them. And listen, the Liberty had a very good season and Isaiah did a nice job. But to go back to 2007, it's in poor taste. It's in poor taste, and it was disturbing to me.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And there was one thing that I mean, obviously I got to listen to the excerpts, and there was one thing I did agree with. Isaiah was quoted saying that he'd give himself a C- or D for his work with the Knicks and his time with the Knicks. And I did agree with that. That is what I agreed with. Everything else is just, it's strange. It's very Dolan-esque.
Not only do I agree with the grade, I was kind of shocked that he gave himself that grade. That was the one thing that did surprise me about the interview. You know, Isaiah constantly, off the record, on the record, defends his stint. Even when he left, he'll talk about the roster. And I agree with him. When he left, there was still a nice bunch of pieces there, you know, with David Lee and
right.
Chandler and Wilson, Nate Robinson, and they had a bunch of pieces. But to give himself a D was pretty honest, and I was glad he was able to do that. But, again, to be talking about Isaiah Thomas, 8 days or 9 days before the Knicks season opener, that's poor. The Liberty season has been over for a few weeks. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, Mark, and you're listening to the Knicks at Night show here with Tom and Frank. Our guest, Mark Berman, is nice enough to join us from the New York Post. So, Mark, you've been on the show with us a bunch of times before. We have something we call the Fast Five. It's five quick questions, one-word answers. You ready to give it a shot?
Yeah, I remember this. This is fun.
All right. Over, under, 35.5 wins for the Knicks.
Under.
Porzingis will play more than 20 minutes per game, yes or no?
No.
The Derek Fisher MMA fight with Matt Barnes is a big deal. Yes or no?
Yes.
One word to describe the Knicks offseason would be?
Modest.
And besides Carmelo Anthony, the most important Knick will be?
Porzingis.
All right.
All right. Well, Mark, we really appreciate you joining us tonight, giving us about 25 minutes of your time to talk Knicks basketball with us. Hopefully the Knicks have a preseason training camp up at West Point again next year. Maybe we can meet up and have some food, maybe at Blue Chip Burger. I know that's Kevin Gleason's spot there, right in Middletown. Or we could try Tony Baffa's restaurant. I know the owner.
I knew you were going to mention that place. Yeah, that's a classic place. Your listeners don't know, I used to live out in Orange County and work for the Times Herald Record and have been there before.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Yeah, they're very family-oriented over there at Tony Baffa's.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Thank you.
Well, Mark, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to the start of the season and reading all the articles that you write there at the Post, and talking to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks so much again for having me on. Take care.
Oh, no problem.
Have a good night. Thanks.
That was Mark Berman of the New York Post right here with Frank and Tom. What did you think about Berman's interview?
I thought that was good, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Damn it! I forgot to ask him and Sean and
I'll
and,
answer it.
And
ask me.
And,
I'll answer.
Well, no, I was gonna ask him how many of his article titles that he actually writes, because it's a big ongoing argument with who's writing Berman's some of Berman's ridiculous article titles. So I forgot to ask. Sean's gonna be pissed off at me. Sean Aquino, one of the hosts here at the Knicks at Night show. So.
Yeah, he's eating dinner now out there on the West Coast.
Right. Well, he was surfing this afternoon. He was surfing, so I like to surf.
Sun never sets where he lives.
No, you know where the sun does set?
Where's that?
In New York. It's already cold out.
It's freezing.
Oh, this morning I walked outside. There was ice on my windshield. I was like, "F this!" I'm like, "Let's move."
Let's move. Time to move.
Let's move. Anyway, I want to get your take. Am I ready for Halloween?
Excited?
I mean, I'm not. Halloween, like, it's one of those holidays that I'm excited for Halloween because the NBA starts. Like, you know, like, this year it's on a Friday or a Saturday, maybe a Saturday night, and you know there's going to be a ton of NBA games on. And that's cool to me. I love the NBA. I'm an NBA junkie. College, you know, it kind of does it for me, but, I mean, I prefer the NBA.
I just love watching millionaires put a ball in a basket. So, it really gets me going. Hey, these guys have a lot more money than me.
Oh, yeah.
Watch them put a ball in a basket.
Right. Hey, but listen, you can put the correct punctuation on a sentence, all right? You can do that.
You know what's funny, though? It's like we're getting to the age now where, like, superstars in the NBA are, like, younger than us.
Oh, the majority are,
like,
yeah.
It's, like, heart-wrenching now at this point in my life. It's like, what am I doing?
Porzingis is, like, 9 years younger than you.
And it's like, oh, man, how blessed is he? 7'3", athletic, just amazing talent, just millionaire, American millionaire. You know what's funny, man? Like, the styles now, like, they dress these guys so well, like, they don't even look like they're 7 foot. Like, they look like they're just normal. You know what I mean? Before, you always had, like, the big guys wearing the baggy clothes or the big suits. Now it's like everyone's got, like, the slim cut, everything. Everything's fitted, you know, to these
Taylor.
Big guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I
That's
saw
great.
Porzingis is wearing skinny jeans. The jeans were 6 feet long. Like, like the length on his pants is, like, a 50. I don't know.
And the funny thing is that that's not an exaggeration. Like, that's the actual length of
his
pants. Oh, God. So I wanted to get your take on this, Tom. So one of our listeners, I know you're familiar with him. He listens to the show. He's from Australia. And he's actually coming to the U.S. this year to catch a bunch of Knicks games. So I wanted to give you, like, a Reader's Digest version of his itinerary. All right?
Okay.
This is our friend from Australia. He's an Aussie Knicks fan. He's all over Twitter. Give him a follow.
I'm sure you guys follow him. Whoever's listening to the show probably knows
him. Yeah, I'm sure you follow him. And so he's coming to L.A. He's going to meet Sean out in L.A., and they're going to go to a Knicks Clippers game, I believe. Then they're going to go to a Knicks-Lakers game. Then he's going to go to a Sacramento Kings game. Then he's flying to Chicago. He's going to go to a Bulls game, a Knicks-Bulls game. Then he's coming to New York. He's going to see them play two or three games in New York. Then he's flying down to New Orleans to see them play the Pelicans before he flies back to home to Australia. How cool of a trip is that?
You know, the exchange rate must be pretty good, because that's one heck of a trip.
Yeah. You know what, though? Honestly, like, if you think about it, the only high-priced tickets that he's going to see is for the Lakers and when they're here to play the Knicks, like when the Knicks are at home at MSG. I mean, if you think about it, you could probably go to that Pelicans game for like $8. You
Dude,
know, like
$8,
really?
You're sitting on the court and you got a free beer. Like,
oh, yeah. You're getting a free beer.
That's
oh,
great. Now, and,
right, you know what I mean, though?
He's
like,
going to New Orleans, dude. He's going, like, okay, Austin's
NOLA,
going
man.
To see the Knicks-Pelicans, but, like, he's going to NOLA, too. Like, what
right.
a great trip.
Yeah.
L.A.,
oh,
New Orleans, New York. What a great time.
Oh, Chicago, L.A.? Like
Chicago,
Sacramento.
Yeah.
Sacramento's a fun place. Like,
right. Are we, gonna, are we planning on meeting him down in the city when he comes to MSG games?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we haven't set anything up yet like Sean has. I know Sean, they've set up something. But, yeah, absolutely. We need to get tickets and go hang out and maybe go to Clyde's with him after. Or
absolutely. Yeah, that's a Saturday all day.
Oh, yeah. What's the bar right down the street that we go to all the time? I haven't been there in a while. The place that we had lunch last year. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Off 34th
Is
Street.
Is it McFadden?
Not McFadden's. The Syracuse Bar. Oh, it's a good spot.
Oh, it's a hole-in-the-wall place. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Sean and I went there after a game. It was a good time. It's always a good time there. You know, anytime you can get a $9 beer in the city, oh, it's a good time. That's what I love.
Yeah.
So anyway,
right,
Tom.
We have any callers on the line?
We did have some callers before. I feel like they called in to listen to Mark and so we had actually five or six calls on the line, but we didn't get a chance to get them on tonight. But we do appreciate you calling and listening to us. We actually reached the 100,000 download level for the Knicks at Night show. So we've had over 100,000 listens, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. That's a big feat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, because as many times as I can click on it by myself, like, you know, to make those numbers go up, like, I couldn't sit there all day and get 100,000 of them, so that's kind of cool.
No. That's great. Well, thank you, everyone, for downloading and subscribing and listening. We appreciate it. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends' friends.
Tell your friends' friends.
Right.
Get everyone to listen to us. And then you can call in and tell your friends to listen, and we'll talk to you on the show.
Oh, yeah.
So
we talk to everyone.
Be cool to your friends, if you know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying. Anyway, Tom, so you ready to wrap this up? What time we have?
Let's wrap it up. It's about 9:53.
That was a nice quick show. Yeah.
For your drive-in, your commute, you know. I hope we sufficed. I hope you, you know, have a 45-minute commute.
Nice little podcast to listen to.
Nice little podcast. Maybe stop at Dunkin', grab a coffee, and then as soon as you pull into work, podcast is over.
Right. Pow. So you've been listening to the Knicks and Night Show with Frank and Tom. We come at you live once a week during the season, preseason, to talk Knicks basketball with you. Check us out on Stitcher and iTunes. Tom, you ready to level out?
Level out.
Peace out.